Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the first part of Immanuel Kant's Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, he is concerned with this question, how is pure mathematics possible? And by this, what does he mean? Well, mathematics as such, not mathematics necessarily as it's being taught or applied to physical things, say in engineering or to particular problems, but how is mathematics as a discipline, as a form of cognition or knowledge, erkenntness, how is this actually going to be possible? And Kant is doing a little bit of a softball, as we call it here, a little bit of a question that already has some sort of presupposed answer, you could say, because he knows from his first critique how indeed it is possible. He's discussed it there. And we know that mathematics is possible because we actually use it. But this question of how requires a kind of deepening of the inquiry into what mathematics is and how it actually works. And the key idea here is going to be that of a priori intuitions. This is where a lot of people get tripped up in reading Kant, whether it's the Prolegomena or the First Critique, and thinking about the nature of mathematics, in part because they already have associations with this term intuition, which is how we translate Anschauung from German into English. And so he tells us that mathematical cognition must exhibit Darstellen. So that Stellen term there is going to be important, as we're going to see. We're going to have Vorstellen in just a bit. Must exhibit its concept, its Begriff, in two important intersecting ways. One is it's got to demonstrate these things a priori. And this is what has attracted so many people, not just to mathematics as something that's certain, definite, something we can make progress in, like he says, a great and established branch of knowledge encompassing even now a wonderfully large domain, so past accomplishments and promising an unlimited extension in the future. But it carries with it thoroughly apodeictical certainty, that is, absolute necessity, which therefore rests on no empirical grounds. And so the temptation, the second part of that, has been to say, listen, mathematics is different than other things. Maybe there's like a world of pure essences out there that it corresponds to. This is sort of the Platonic tendency in interpretation. Or maybe it's relations of ideas, as David Hume had said. But there's something special about mathematics. And Kant says, well, we've got some sort of not just a priori, but exhibiting what it exhibits in an intuition. It says it must first exhibit its concept in intuition, an intuition that is not empirical, but pure. So what does empirical mean? Based on experience that we have in our day-to-day sensible world, or perhaps even of our own thought processes, right? Instead, we have a pure intuition. And then, the question is, well, what is that going to be? And he goes on and he says that this pure intuition is absolutely necessary for mathematics. Without this, mathematics cannot take a single step. Its judgments are always intuitive, whereas philosophy must be satisfied with discursive judgments from mere concepts. So what we're doing in mathematics is different than what we're doing in philosophy. But notice that philosophy can make sense out of what mathematics is doing. And so he says that, if we can discover this pure intuition and its possibility, then we may easily explain how synthetic propositions a priori are possible in pure mathematics, and consequently how this science itself is possible. So some sort of pure intuition must form the basis, zum Grunde liegen, lying at the very ground of pure mathematics. And then he says, well, this is going to raise a question, but first we have to actually make an important distinction. Empirical intuition is what we're most used to thinking in terms of, and this really subsumes the entirety of what we're tempted to call intuition, according to Kant. So he says, as empirical intuition enables us without difficulty to enlarge the concept we frame of an object of intuition by new predicates, which intuition itself presents synthetically in experience. Okay, so what is all of that? We don't typically think about things that way. We say, well, I look at something and I learn something new about it, right? Or I taste something and I find out I like it or don't like it. It's wholesome or it's noxious or something like that. Well, those things that we say that we know about it, those are new predicates that we can say about it, that we can have in a judgment or a cognition, right? Or a proposition. So that's what he's talking about. And we do this through looking at things or smelling things or touching things or a combination of all of this. Now, of course, as he's going to say a little bit later on, the sense perception, the sensibility doesn't actually make the judgments. It's the understanding which forms judgments. And it does so using that sense data, but in other ways. And this is something we're doing all the time. As a matter of fact, we've been doing this essentially since infancy. Right? So he goes on and he says, pure intuition also does likewise, but there is a difference. In pure intuition, the synthetic judgment is a priori certain and apodeictic. Now, means it can't be wrong, right? And it's universal. It's demonstrating something that we can certainly buy into. In the former, only a posteriori and empirically certain, because the a posteriori case contains only that which appears in contingent empirical intuition, but the a priori case contains that which must necessarily be discovered in pure intuition. Now, necessarily by me, by you, by any rational being that is constituted in the way that we are. So we've got empirical a posteriori intuitions coming from experience of limited scope. Then we have pure a priori intuitions, which are of universal scope, you could say. And here somebody might raise a question, as Kant does, how is it possible to intuit anything a priori? Or how are a priori intuitions even possible? Some people might say, listen, intuitions are just experience, so you don't get to call some of them a priori. That's, you know, playing around with terms and inventing something that isn't real. And Kant goes on and he says, okay, what is an intuition? An intuition is a representation, a Vorstellung, right? So now we've got our other Stellung. And Stellen means to place in something, right? To constitute. So Vorstellung, representations, they could be images, they could be, you know, various other kinds of ideas. Vorstellung, that depends on the presence of the object. Now, the object is the Gegenstand, and the presence of the object is the Gegenwart of the Gegenstand. So the being there, the being in existence. And so intuitions are telling us that something really is the case, right? I taste the bitter aspirin, or actually that's more sour, I suppose, right? And I waver, is it sour or is it bitter, right? I'm doing that because I've actually got something that I'm tasting, right? So then he goes on and he says, well, because of this, it seems to be impossible to intuit anything a priori originally, because intuition would have to take place without either a former or present object to appeal to, and therefore it wouldn't be intuition. So this is the very problem that he's dealing with. And then he says, listen, think about concepts that we can form a priori. They contain nothing but the thought of an object in general. We can universalize or abstract, as others would say. So he says, think about quantity, cause. But even these, he says, in order to be meaningful and significant, certain concrete use, that is an application to some intuition, is needed. So this raises a problem. How can the intuition, if it's going to be a priori, precede the object, which seems like it has to be something that we encounter a posteriori through experience? How can the object, an intuition of the object, precede the object itself? So if we can answer that question, then we can say that a priori intuitions are indeed possible or even actual. And so here's Kant's solution here. At this point, he says that if our intuition had to be of such a nature as to represent things as they are in themselves, so things is Dinge, right? And we're going to ultimately get to the Dinge in sich, the thing in itself, and things as they are in themselves, an sich selbst sein, as they have being, as they exist in themselves. And intuition doesn't have to give us that. Right? He says that if intuition had to be that way, there wouldn't be any intuition a priori, but intuition would always be empirical. I can only know what's contained in the object if it's present and given to me. But, he says, if even this possibility be granted, an intuition of that sort would not take place a priori before the object were presented to me. So there's only one way my intuition can anticipate the actuality of the object and be a cognition a priori. If my intuition contains nothing but the form, not the content, but the form of sensibility, Sinnlichkeit, right? Which in me as a subject precedes all the actual impressions through which I am affected by objects. Now, what does this actually mean? So if Kant is right about this, then we have within ourselves, you can say your mind, you can say your soul, whatever it is that you want at this point, we have this form of sensibility even before anything is actually intuited in that sensibility through empirical, experiential, a posteriori intuitions. So now this is a big if, isn't it? I mean, if you follow Kant along these lines, then everything falls into place. If you want to deny that, you're probably going to find him unsatisfying here. But let's go along with this. So what would this a priori intuition that contains the form of sensibility actually contain? So he tells us this, the intuitions which pure mathematics lays at the foundation of all of its cognitions and judgments, which appear at once apodeictic and necessary, are space and time. Space and time themselves are not something that you can directly intuit through experience. Everything that we intuit is in space, that is, it's spatially located, right, in relation to other things, and in time, in this sequence that is moving through. But how do you conceptualize, how do you cognize, how do you grasp space and time themselves? Do you imagine it sort of like a big sheet of graph paper where you've got like a grid on it? I mean, you know, that's the way that people imagine space and time when we're mapping it, at least in terms of space. We have timelines and stuff like that. Those are all coming later. Kant is telling us that we as human beings have this a priori intuition of what it is that makes it possible to have a posteriori or empirical intuitions at all. And, you know, mathematics is going to be relying upon this. And like it says, both of these representations in geometry and arithmetic are merely intuitions. If we omit from the empirical intuitions of bodies and their alterations, that is motion, everything empirical, space and time still remain and are therefore pure intuitions that lie a priori at the basis of the empirical. Hence, they can never be omitted, but at the same time, by their being pure intuitions a priori, they prove they are mere forms of our sensibility, which must, notice the term, precede, come before all empirical intuition. So, you know, he says, the problem of the present section is therefore solved. Pure mathematics is synthetic cognition a priori is possible only by referring to no other objects than those of the senses. But we're not grasping it through the senses, that would be, you know, empirical intuition. We are sort of cognizing, we are thinking about, we're using reason, Vernunft, to figure out what has to be going on for us to have the empirical intuitions, which then, you know, applied mathematics could be indeed connected to, right? But pure mathematics is relying on these forms of sensibility. So that is how a priori intuitions are possible, which means that pure mathematics is actually possible as well. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.